bless you.
God bless.
You good, Joe?
I think so.
I'm gonna say that I am, anyways. It should be. Can you hear me? Okay. Boy, we're way past time.
Well, I probably drug it out. Sorry.
15 minutes, 20 minutes on that one. Anyways, I'll try to not go past 12. But I was expecting my daughter to be here today. I don't know where she's at, so you might continue to pray for her. She probably had something come up at the last minute, got sick or something. She was out there cooking steaks and burgers with Michael on the grill, and all that smoke might have affected her. I don't know. So we'll just hope and pray that everything's okay with her and her family. It's good to be here on another Lord's Day. It's good to see each and every one of you. It's good to visit with the ones that were here earlier and visiting in the lunchroom and everything. And that was good. And, you know, we discussed a lot of different things, and that's what getting together before and after the worship service is all about, getting to know, you know, each other and our habits and a little bit about what's going on in our lives, and encouraging one another, strengthening one another. You know, trying to build, you know, give you a little courage or confidence or whatever. And, you get some of that out in the world, you know, but it's different. It's, you know, it a lot of times it's more of a dare to do something. And sometimes those dares can turn into something that'll harm you. So it's not always an ideal situation out there. I've been studying various things, and I've settled on somebody asked me some questions, and so I kept coming across this particular scripture in studying different words, and I thought, well, I might as well just talk about that, even though at times things about what I'm going to discuss may seem controversial, and you may have other opinions than what I have on the subject. I don't know, and if that's the case, we'll thank you for your opinion, and hopefully if you've got a good theological or scriptural basis for your opinion, I hope you can change my mind. But other than that, I've got a lot of different thoughts about it, and I want to look at a particular scripture that's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Anyways, before I start reading scripture, I want to ask you, who here remembers the late great planet Earth? Did you see the movie? Or did you read the book? Okay.
Sounds familiar.
The old boy and another guy, one of them's name was Hal Lindsey, wrote a book about the end time or the ending of earth and what all was going to transpire in the events leading up to and all of that. Did you ever hear about the old boy that talked about Halley's Comet? And there was a spaceship that was hidden in Halley's Comet, and that spaceship, when Halley's Comet was going to pass by the Earth, was going to beam up all of the followers, and they were going to go off into space. Did you ever hear about that? Well, I'm 66 years old, and I'll go back to the late great planet Earth in a second because it's kind of amusing in a way to me. To me, anyways. In my lifetime, I have picked up pamphlets, little books, I don't have enough time to talk about each little pamphlet that I've gotten where someone has predicted a date for the end of the world. And that's basically what the late great planet Earth did. And the book was published and began to circulate in the 1970s, I think, 1970. And the movie didn't come out till about 1978, which was the year I graduated. And so one of my buddies who run around with he was a character. He was one of the clowns of the class. You think I was, but no. This guy was. He could mock and imitate the principal and sound just like him, and he could, do different things and various things like that, and cut up in class and not get caught. And anyways. Not only saw the movie, but he read the book. And from the time that he saw the movie, he would not cut up. His persona was totally different. He would not, normally for a high school boy, it was common for us to flirt with girls and to kind of kid around, tease. No, none of that. No more going off on Friday, Saturday night. No, no more of that. And he was, it wasn't the same faith as me. It wasn't the same faith of anybody in our class. But he was straight down the road, following the law, not venturing left or right. And of course, we're used to him cutting up and everything. And finally, we read enough scriptures to him that we convinced him that it wasn't about works. Works wasn't going to get you to heaven. And majority of these pamphlets, the majority of these end of time themes concentrate on works. And one of the thoughts and ideas, even with that Halley's Comet deal, was people are going to be left behind. The late great planet Earth was like that. You're going to be left behind if you don't straighten your ways, walk the straight road, this and that. And I'm not saying that that's not good. That is good, definitely. Because what I'm going to read is it tells you, to be godly. And it tells you to walk after God. But that's a work for us to do. It is not the finished work of Christ that he has done. And so I'm gonna read the first one. And I want you to know right now that these are lengthy. And I personally think that one of the reasons that they're lengthy is to confuse the world, is to give them all kinds of different ideas. And so that they don't know the day or the hour, which it tells us that no man knoweth the day nor the hour. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, catch these first two verses, because if you don't catch these first two verses, you're going to miss everything not only in this chapter, but in the chapter that follows. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be concerning the destruction of the temple? And, of course, we know that one reference to this refers to, when he's referring to the temple, he's referring to his body, being destroyed, or laying down his life for his people. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, and there's more than one world referenced in the Bible. You know, people look at world and they think, well, the end of the world. Well, it is the end of the world. And there's a destruction that's coming. And just like whenever the Israelites were taken off into captivity with Nebuchadnezzar or any of the other people that captured them. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed. And this is important here too, because this particular word goes throughout this chapter and the next. Take heed that no man deceive you. Being deceived. And that's what these pamphlets and these little theologies, are all about. They have not taken the whole Word of God. They have taken bits and pieces. They'll go back to a particular prophet and they'll take a particular verse and they'll glean all of their thoughts and ideas from that one little verse. But they don't take all into consideration the other verses that are surrounding it. Kind of like John 3:16. They don't take into consideration John 3:14 and those that follow John 3:16 or John 1 through 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. They don't take into consideration all those verses. They take that one verse and they promote a particular idea. And so, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay, when's the end? That's what they're waiting for. Tell us when is this going to be? Tearing down of the destruction of the temple. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse or different places, diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. So it's not an end. All these things are not an end. It's a beginning. Then shall they deliver you. And that's talking about the apostles and Christians. Deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved or delivered. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There's many ends written in this particular chapter and the one following it. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, what is the abomination of desolation? Me, personally, I think that that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Whenever they put my Savior to death, that was the desolation, abomination that the Jews placed upon their nation. Stand in the holy place. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. They're still talking about time. Every bit of this is talking about time. For pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except these days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if ye shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. And this See, that doesn't stop whenever it's talking about the trumpet and the four winds. It doesn't stop right there. It's a continuation of thought. He's continuing to tell them about the end, the destruction of the temple. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, I know, or know, that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation. Now, the world, scholarly theologists, will say that's talking about a future generation whenever all of this stuff takes place. But if you look at the wording here, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. This generation. Well, if you realize that Christ was put to death around AD 30, 33, 34, somewhere in that nature, the destruction of Israel or Jerusalem took place historically in about AD 70, whenever the Roman Empire tore down the temple and took all of those stones and displaced them throughout the Roman Empire, and they tore down that temple. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. This is where the left behind becomes part of their doctrine and theology. One will be taken and one will be left behind. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I say that continues on. I'm not going to read the 25th chapter, but it does continue on with the same and similar thoughts in the 25th chapter. And by far, Matthew is the lengthiest writer about the end time. But he's not the only one. If we look at the 13th chapter of Mark, verse And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. That theme is continuing throughout the Gospels. Take heed that any man deceive you. Where is that? In heaven? No, that's right here, right now. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, and in synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now, I'm not going to read the entire 13th chapter because of time. I hope that you will take it home, study it, and think about it. But the last verse in this particular lesson, in the whole chapter, is the same lesson. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. He's saying that to us too. Watch. Okay. Then if we go over to Luke, in the 21st chapter, and he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with godly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. See, the deception of the world is what is under consideration in all of these texts. And in all of these texts, it's warning us that there's going to be people coming that are going to deceive us or try to deceive us and would deceive the very elect. Who are the very elect? Those that read and understand the things that he's talking about. Now, if you look about what it says in the 12th chapter, and also what it says in Luke about Lazarus, if you think about what he says there, I am the resurrection. Do you, y'all all believe that, right? I am the resurrection. Well, when was the resurrection? The day he arose from the grave, whenever he presented himself . You see, in the resurrection, I may read in the Thessalonian letter here in a minute, and I need to read a little bit more here too. Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. See, the time's getting close. But let me tell you this. In all the histories that I've ever written or read about the church and Eusebius, ecclesiastical history, Josephus history, or the history of the Middle Ages, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, Baptist in all ages, I've got a library that's bigger than that right there at home, and that I have read majority of the books that I have, and in all of those times and all of those different eras in time, during World War II, during World War I, during the Revolutionary War, during different wars. It's the time of the end. It's the time of the end. Things are getting close. Things are almost here. And the fact of the matter is they're closer than when I first believed. It says that. And it is closer than when I first believed. The time of the end is closer than when I believed. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The key theme right in all of these things is to watch. Watch. And I'm going to read over here in Thessalonians. Y'all knew I would. He says here, the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonian church, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. This is in the fourth chapter, in the 13th verse. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the resurrection. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now then, as to my personal beliefs, and it would take me, you would have to sit down one-on-one and discuss this one-on-one. My father died when I was about 31. That's when his end was. My mother died about 6 years ago. That's when her end was. I'm getting closer to my end. I don't know what day it is. I don't know where it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to happen. But there is going to be an end of Joel McCarty. And what the scriptures teach me is that I don't know what day or what hour, but I need to watch, because the door, who is Christ, is what I will, is when that door opens, that is the resurrection. Now, as far as time goes, my father's body is still in a grave. But as far as time is concerned, I am Alpha and Omega. He is the end. Whenever end of time comes for me, I will be with the Lord. That's my belief. And I will see my grandchildren who have died before me. I will see my mother and father. I will see my grandfather, my aunts and uncles. And I will forever be with the Lord. And something else, that one of the friends, well, how do you think it's going to happen? I personally believe that whenever the last child of God is conceived within the womb of a woman, the last child of God, that the resurrection will happen. And the dead in Christ, which are in the graves, and those that are not dead yet, will instantaneously be caught up with God. When is that? I think it's already in the moment. Because He is the resurrection. There's no time with God. He is at that point. But for me, being a timely individual, that's not going to happen until that last child is conceived or my death. Now then, presenting these particular scriptures and thinking about the deception that is in the world, I do believe that that Satan, the devil, will take all of these signs and all of these various things that has the description that has been presented, not only here but in Ezekiel and Daniel, Jeremiah, and all of these various places, and they will build on that. And I think that there's coming a time, especially with the computers and AI and all this, that they'll manufacture an end time and deceive many that it's already happened. We're left behind. God's already come and got all His people. You're left behind. You're not one of His chosen. So that they can rule over us, so that they can have their way with mankind in a way that they want to. And I think that that's been going on since the day of time, whenever kings had subjects and they forced them into bondage, into slavery, and into different and various things. And I think it's been going on since the day of time. I think that there have been many antichrists. And I think that there will be many antichrists that continue until my Savior comes back for me and us. When is the end? I don't know. I don't know when my end is. And I'm sure that you don't know when your end is. But I hope that you will not be deceived by men that try to gather these little thoughts, one-line thoughts or even a few-line thoughts, and try to deceive you with it, to making you think it's the end. Now, those are my thoughts on the end times. And I hope that I haven't offended anybody. I hope that I've given you something to think about. But those are my thoughts on the end times. I hope you will consider these things and pray for me that I might continue or that I might know more about the truth, that I might understand more about the truth, and that we can all benefit from